kind of gets into his flow. He just poses too many threats to surround me.
I'm feeling confident against anyone. I'm fully prepared, fully committed, Conor McGregor.
You'd be f***ing stupid to think this man doesn't have a wrestling defense or some kind of grappling defense.
There's no one that can touch me, you know. I birthed this game. I made this game what it is.
You know, if we stay switched on, you shouldn't get near Conor.
Although there will be blood spilled, it will not be bad blood. And for the Mystic Mac prediction, it will be a KO.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ariel Helwani's MMA Show!
Back in your life on this Wednesday night here in Las Vegas, Nevada. Hello again, everyone, and welcome to a very special edition of Ariel Helwani's MMA Show right here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and Sirius XM Channel 80. We are in Sin City, and it is 9 p.m. Pacific time, a little after 9 p.m., 9:03 to be exact, but more importantly, midnight on the East Coast, 12:03 a.m., and I am told that the freaks come out at night. That's what I'm told from the radio vets at ESPN, and so I specifically asked for this time slot because I want to hear from the freaks. We've got a lot to talk about on this Wednesday evening. The UFC 246 press conference is in the books. It is the highly anticipated return of Conor McGregor, the notorious one, Conor McGregor, who did not fight once in 2019, who had an unbelievably tumultuous 2019, his last appearance inside the octagon, October of 2018, he lost to Khabib Nurmagomedov in a fight that was dark, that was heavy, that was at times uncomfortable. The trash talk, the vitriol, the venom being spewed by both men, and in particular Conor McGregor leading up to that fight was not fun. The fight itself was cool. It was fun. It was dramatic at times. The aftermath was ugly and could have gotten a lot worse. It was here in Las Vegas. You recall Khabib and his team, I thought, incited it all by Khabib first jumping over the cage and going after Conor's team, and then Khabib's team going in the cage after Conor, and everyone got suspended. It was just a whole mess of a situation. Well, we haven't seen Conor fight since then. And like I said, 2019, one to forget, multiple run-ins with the law here in the United States, issues back home in Ireland, accusations, allegations. And for a minute, we thought maybe he wouldn't come back. But he was actually trying, by the way, to come back over the summer, broke his left hand. That derailed things. That delayed things. But now here we are, January 18th. It goes down, T-Mobile Arena, Las Vegas, UFC 246 at 170 pounds. Conor McGregor going up against Donald Cerrone. In fact, this rivalry, if you will, started back in 2015 at a press conference here in Vegas where they went back and forth. And now here we are, like 4.5 or so years later, they're actually going to fight. The stakes couldn't be higher, and it's interesting because this is the first time in Conor's career that, first time over the past 5 years of Conor's career that he is not fighting for the belt or that he is not a champion going into a fight. But still, the stakes feel incredibly high. Why? Because he needs to get back on track. He hasn't won since November of 2016. His last win was against Eddie Alvarez at Madison Square Garden, where he made history by becoming the first fighter in UFC history to hold two belts at the same time. Then, of course, went after the Mayweather fight, fought him in August of 2017 here in Las Vegas, went 10 rounds, ultimately lost that fight, took almost a year off, fought Khabib, and then last year was inactive. He has to win. He has to look good. And all eyes are going to be on how he looks, how he behaves, what he says afterwards on Saturday night in Las Vegas. Tonight on this program, I want to hear from all of you. I want to get your say on what you thought about the press conference, what you think about the fight, what you think of this new Conor McGregor, what you think about the dynamic between both Conor and Cerrone, where he goes from here with a victory. Anything goes. Whatever's on your mind, I want to hear it. So give me a call. 1-888-729-3776. 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That's the number to call. 1-888-729-3776. All of our callers, all of our guests appear on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. And of course, ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Now it's time for Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. This is the Straight Talk as far as the press conference that happened just about 4 or so hours ago here in Las Vegas. First of all, everyone wanted to know if Conor would be late. He's notorious for that. Pardon the pun. That's his thing. Guess what? Not only was he on time, he was actually early, 20 minutes early. They started exactly at 5 p.m. Pacific. Great sign, right? And what has been the main talking point going into this fight? Since my interview with him aired on my show on Monday, Ariel Helwani's MMA show, the number one MMA show on the planet. You probably are already a big fan of it. If you're not, get with the program. Anyway, the big story was the new Conor. Wow, he's so calm. He's so collected. He's so zen-like. Where's the trash-talking Conor McGregor? Where's the mean Conor McGregor? Where's the Conor McGregor who likes to put down his opponent? Who likes to, you know, talk himself up? He seems so at peace, so happy. And going into that interview, his team kept telling me, no, he's really, really happy. There's been no issues. He's back on track. In fact, he's in a better place than he was back in 2015, 2016, prime Conor McGregor. It's actually true. Him fighting at 170, not having to cut any weight, not fighting at 155, just focusing on the training, having an opponent that isn't getting under his skin, where there's no bad blood with him in the camp. This is all working in our favor. And I was like, yeah, guys, come on. This is a cliche. We hear this in the fight game all the time. Oh, the fighter is coming back and, oh, you know, he's looking better than ever and he feels better than ever and he's fighting better than ever and he's training better than ever. Yeah, yeah, we heard that. And then, you know, they stumble and it's like, oh, there's a bunch of excuses. And then I sat in front of him and then I spoke to him for an hour and now I believe it. I believe that 170 was the right call when I didn't initially. I believe he's in a very good place. I believe he's happy. I believe he's back mentally, physically. And what we saw at the press conference today was a man who I think thought he was about to lose all of this. You heard him say, I'm so happy to be back in Las Vegas. I'm so happy to be back in America. I'm so happy to be fighting again. I respect my opponent. Kept thanking the audience. It was like he was at a Disney World parade, like waving to everyone, just happy to be on display. He was going down the path of being that stereotypical fighter who almost blew it all, who had nothing, won everything, and then was about to lose everything. And I think he recognizes that this is his second chance, and he better not blow it. And so he's been on good behavior. Now, I'm not going to say for the rest of his career he's going to be an angel, but I think it was important for him and his team, considering everything that happened to him, everything that he did to himself, all very much self-inflicted last year, things that were indefensible. I think it's been important for them to be on their best behavior, to be on time, to be respectful, to represent themselves and the sport and the UFC in the best light possible. And he's doing that. This has been a phenomenal week. No drama, no issues, no stumbles. Even with all the bad stuff still kind of lingering, hanging over him, he's handling it all very well, impressively. And so to me, it felt like a guy who was just happy to be back, happy to be there, thought he almost lost it all, enjoyed the moment. And I know there were some people who were a little upset. You know, you want to see, you know, the clown perform in front of you. You want to see the show. You want to see him dancing in front of you, right? You want to see all that stuff. I get that. But this isn't that fight. This isn't that moment for him. He doesn't want that. If you were reading the tea leaves, if you were paying attention, you would have known it was going to go down like that. Exactly like that. That wasn't a surprise to me. That press conference was never going to be filled with fireworks, vitriol, none of that stuff. And Cerrone's not that kind of guy. He's not that kind of trash-talking guy. He's not the kind of guy that wants to get under his opponent's skin. But here's my theory. I have a theory for all of you. Everyone walked away from the press conference saying, all right, there was respect. They were nice to each other. You know, a couple good lines. Oh, you know, blood will be spilled, but no bad blood will be spilled. Great line from Conor McGregor you heard at the top of the show. But I have a theory. There actually was mental warfare. There actually was mental warfare being played by Conor McGregor. Maybe subconsciously, but I do believe mental warfare was played. You may think I'm crazy by saying this. Because it was so nice, because there was so much, you know, so much love, it was like a mutual admiration society. But there was mental warfare. After the break, I'll tell you exactly what that mental warfare was. And in fact, my great friend and colleague, the one and only Chael P. Sonnen, the man with the largest arms out of Westland, Oregon, my fellow colleague here at ESPN, one of the brightest minds in the history of this game as far as promotion is concerned. He'll join me. I'm going to tell him what my theory is as far as the mental warfare, and I'll get his take on that. I want to hear from you. 1-888-SAY-ESPN, 1-888-729-3776. That's the number to call. This was Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less, only at Walmart. Don't go anywhere. We're going to hear from Chael P. after the break. We're going to hear from all of you. We got a lot more to discuss right here on the number one MMA show on the planet, The Helwani Show on ESPN Radio. As you all know, I'm a huge basketball fan, and so whenever I want to listen to an in-depth conversation about the National Basketball Association, I go to my guy, Zach Lowe. What a show. What a podcast. The Low Post podcast is incredible. But in his latest episode of the Low Post podcast, it's a particularly important one as he talks to Utah Jazz forward Joe Ingles, who's a native of Australia. And if you've been following the news over the past few weeks, you're probably well aware of the terrible wildfires raging over there. And so if you've been wondering how you can help lend a hand in supporting the fight against the fires, Joe will tell you how on the latest Low Post podcast, which you can find wherever you get your podcasts. It's the Helwani Show right here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80. We are live in Las Vegas, Nevada, getting you set for UFC 246, the return of the notorious one, Conor McGregor, his first fight since October of 2018. He's going up against Donald Cerrone, Cowboy Cerrone. It's on ESPN Plus pay-per-view. Everyone's buzzing. It's a big scene here. They're expecting a gate of more than $10 million. Obviously, whenever Conor fights, it's a big deal. The press conferences are always a big deal. This time around, the press conference just ended a few hours ago, and there wasn't a strong Irish presence, and that's expected. It's after the holidays. They're not expecting a lot of Irish people to come over, but it's sold out, and a lot of people are obviously very excited locally, all over the place. I mean, people travel from all over, but I don't think we'll see the same kind of Irish presence that we saw back in the 2015-2016 days. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. All callers appear on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. You can give us a call right now, 1-888-729-3776. That's 1-888-SAY-ESPN, and we're brought to you by the Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, engineered with four levels of defense against gunk, wear, corrosion, and friction. So prior to the break, I said that I actually thought that mental warfare was played at the press conference. Everyone's saying, oh, it was nice, pleasantries, all that stuff and more, but I actually think that something really interesting and smart happened. Let me say hello now to my good friend and colleague, one of the brightest minds in the history of this fight game, the one and only Chael P. Sonnen, former UFC title contender, former Bellator title contender, and just all-around great guy. He's probably in bed right now. He wants to be sleeping, but I've asked him to do one more hit today because we've been up since 7 a.m. Chael P., how are you?
What's up, Helwani? Hey, 7 a.m. is not early for me. I'm from the country. I'm up early every day. It's nice to hear your voice, though, by the way.
It is very nice. I miss you. I mean, I saw you like 2 hours ago, and it's been a great day. We started the show, the day on the Strip, Caesar's Palace. We did Ari on the Bad Guy. It's up on ESPN Plus, the platform that we built. That was fun. We got to do a whole bunch of stuff throughout the day. We're going to be doing a whole bunch of stuff all week long here in Vegas. But the big story of the day, of course, the press conference, highly anticipated. Everyone wanted to see what kind of Conor would show up, what the vibe was between them. Before I ask you about my theory, first, let me ask you this. Scale of 1 to 10, how would you rate that from an entertainment standpoint?
Okay, you know, I loved it. And I loved it because of the old Vince McMahon philosophy. Always give the crowd what they want, but never give them what they're expecting. I like that. And I think if Conor's going to go, you know, he's going to go hot sometimes on a scale of 1 to 10. He's going to come at you at a 10. Every now and then, he's got to go with two or three. I mean, a great way to make people hear you isn't to shout. It's to lower your voice and force them to listen a little bit clearer. But I have to tell you, Helwani, you did a great tease and a great lead-in. I am dying to know. What is your theory? What brilliance do you think happened today?
Okay, so this is it. We know that historically, Donald Cerrone, sometimes on the big stage, you know, he stumbles. Historically, when the going gets tough, he tends to turtle up a little bit. You know, he's fought for the belt multiple times in WEC, World Extreme Cage Fighting, back in the day. And, of course, now in UFC, never won the big one. And even when he's not fighting for the belt, when it's a big stage, he falters. And so what I think Conor did, subconsciously or consciously, was lure him in. False sense of security. We're buds. This is going to be fun. It's just going to be like an old sparring match. There's nothing to worry about here. It's going to be okay. Because look at what happened exactly a year ago, going into Brooklyn. First event on ESPN, Alex Hernandez. What did he do? He poked him. Remember he said, if I see you in the hotel, he's an old man, I'm going to retire him, all that stuff. You remember how hot Cerrone was, how mad he was, how disrespected he felt? And look at the Cerrone that showed up. Conor doesn't want that Cerrone. He wants a happy Cerrone, happy to be there, just happy to take part in the Conor show. And then bam! Saturday night, bam! Head kick, bam! Left hand, bam! You're done in round one. I think he was playing tricks with him. I think that he actually feels now, Cerrone feels, we're buds. It's not going to be so bad. And Conor was playing him. That's the mental warfare. What do you think?
Okay, make no mistake, okay? Yes, Conor is going to stab him in the back.
Yes.
Absolutely. But it's within the rules, and Donald's luring Conor and trying to play that same game with him, and he's going to stab him in the back as well. Look, I like everything that you just said. I don't know if I will subscribe quite to the fact that it was calculated and predetermined. I think it was more unintentional. I do agree with you that that is what happened. For whatever reason, Conor is on very nice behavior. Not for nothing. When Conor wants to be a gentleman, he is quite a gentleman. I mean, he can be very complimentary at times. I thought, Helwani, going into this, that he was going to be pretty nice to Donald. I think you predicted the same thing. However, here's a part I had wrong. I thought that Conor would spew plenty of venom. He would just shoot the venom at a Diaz brother, at Khabib, at Masvidal. I thought he would pick his shots and then remain humble and kind to Cerrone. I was wrong about that. When he cooled it down, he cooled it all the way. And by the way, I don't know if you picked up on this, but a very big thing for Conor at press conferences historically, and the weigh-in for that matter as well. When Conor does a face-off, he cannot be trusted. I mean, Dana White has to break a sweat every time he's got to get involved. Sometimes Dana will push him so far apart. I remember Conor threw a kick at him and just like barely missed. Like, Conor just can't be trusted face to face. And I thought, okay, they're going to clear the tables and this is where the heel turn comes. But it never came. And quite frankly, for somebody to show Cowboy Cerrone respect, of which in fairness he has earned and he deserves, I thought it was a cool move. In many ways, it wasn't what we tuned in for, but Errol, I am glad I tuned in, if I'm being fair with you.
We're talking to Chael Sonnen here on ESPN Radio, ESPN App Series, XM Channel 80. We're breaking down the press conference. That's what we do here in the world of mixed martial arts. Like in the NBA, press conferences come and go, and no one cares about them. In our sport, we actually do shows based off of press conferences. That's how much fun this sport is, all right? Everyone needs to lighten up a little bit and just have a little fun. And it was great entertainment. But one thing that I thought Cerrone did wrong, Chael, he said, hey, we're all good. As long as you don't talk about my grandma, as long as you don't talk about my family, we're all good, Conor. That's me. To me, that's a guy who's saying, like, please, I don't want any harm. I don't want any trouble. Please just don't make it personal. And so what did Conor do? He did exactly what Cerrone asked him to do. It's not personal, buddy. We're friends. And then kablam! Saturday's gonna go for the knockout very early. It was brilliant. It was a different kind of brilliant. It wasn't the same kind of aggressive Conor that we've seen in the past, but it was the Conor who's like, here, little kitty, and then kablam.
Now, Errol, I'm not going to be able to sleep at night. I'm not going to be able to live with the fact that you are giving so much credit to this. Your analysis, yes, and interpretation of what happened is completely correct. I don't disagree. You're filling the audience in, but there's a part of you that's giving Conor credit for a mental manipulation,
yes,
that I don't want him to get credit for, because I don't believe that he tactically and strategically earned it. I do think it's a byproduct. I think everything that you just had is true. And yes, he's looking to complain. He's going to stab him in the back. I just think you're giving a little bit too much credit to his strategy. I really think it was unintentional.
You're crazy. We have 30 seconds. Let me ask you, they faced off. Size has been a big talking point going into this fight. Do you feel like Cerrone has a major size advantage?
Yes, I do. And by the way, Cerrone had a great jacket on, not for nothing, worth mentioning. Yeah, I think that size is a real thing. Look, if you hit somebody the size that they are, I mean, it's kind of like chopping down a tree. You need a whole bunch of shots if it's a big tree. You just do. It can just take more. It can just absorb more. It's a very real thing. Look, Conor has the knockout power. I don't question that. But he's not going to get with one shot like he has some people use Jose by example. It's not that kind of fight.
Chael, I love you. You can go back to bed now. Thank you.
Love you. Kaboom.
Chael P. Sonnen joining us. Your calls, I promise, after the break. We're talking UFC 246 right here on ESPN Radio. Don't go anywhere. Viva Las Vegas! It's the Helwani Show right here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app. SiriusXM Channel 80. Thank you very much, by the way, to our good friends over at ESPN Radio 1100 here in Vegas for allowing me to do the show here. A special Wednesday, late Wednesday, early Thursday morning, depending on where you are, edition of the Helwani Show. It is 9:32 p.m. Pacific time, 12:32 a.m. on the East Coast, and we are talking all things Conor McGregor versus Donald Cerrone. 1-888-729-3776, 1-888-SAY-ESPN. That's the number to call. ESPN Radio, by the way, is presented by Progressive Insurance, creators of the Name Your Price tool. Choose from a range of coverage options and pick the price that works for you. Visit progressive.com today. So I said, calls, we want them, we got them. Nick, Pittsburgh, you're up first. What's on your mind?
Ariel, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're speaking right now. This is amazing. Thank you.
I would kiss you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Nick, my man.
Oh, gee. Maybe you need to have this on your Monday shows, like maybe once a month, a little phone call action, you know, talk to the fans a little bit.
Could we break the fourth wall here for a second? This show needs to be on every day. All right, enough of this dilly-dallying. I'll put everyone on blast. This show should be on ESPN Radio every day. Anyone who thinks that there's nothing to talk about, this sport doesn't have an off season. There's always something to talk about. Is there a better show? Is there a show that's more in tune with the fans and what they want to talk about and what they have on their mind than this one? No. Anyway, back to your
Absolutely
call.
Absolutely not. I'm in Pittsburgh talking to Ariel Helwani right now. He sits across from Conor McGregor. I'm on the phone with him. What do you mean? This is amazing.
What a life.
Oh, my gosh. But no, this notion, okay? A couple things. This is good to see Conor back. But, you know, this notion that this is a new Conor, you know, you wait until Masvidal, Covington, Usman, anybody stands in front of him and starts mouthing off. I have a feeling we're going to see the old Conor start to come back. And I mean, it's not only just that, you know, everybody is writing Cowboy off. I mean, I think Conor's going to win, but what if, you know, we go in here, McGregor wants to make a statement, you know, he's been submitted a couple times. He wants to try to submit, you know, Cerrone, try to send a message, and, you know, Cerrone catches him slipping real quick. And then, you know, Cerrone tries to go get his BMF belt. You know, he is a BMF. Yeah. But where does that leave McGregor? What happens to McGregor if that happens?
Okay, well, Nick, you said a lot there. First of all, I don't think anyone is suggesting that the old Conor can come back at some point. I mean, he's not like a completely different guy. He didn't like walk into a booth and, you know, change himself and now he's a completely different human. But I think what was important was that for this fight, he showed up a little different, a little more relaxed, a little more calm, just less aggressive. And I think he's accomplished that thus far, and I don't think it's going to change leading up to this fight. So that's number one. Number two, yeah, you're right. I mean, Cowboy can win this fight. He's no bum. I think he has been a little bit disrespected. The guy's the winningest fighter in UFC history. He can win this fight in many different ways. His ground game is underrated, in my opinion, and the fact that it's happening at 170 probably favors him because he is the bigger fighter and the more natural 170-pounder. But here's another thing that's not being talked about. Historically, Conor fights guys who are on winning streaks. Their confidence is very high. They're feeling good about themselves. They won 5 in a row, 6 in a row, 7 in a row, right? I mean, Aldo and Mayweather and Mendez, Eddie Alvarez just won the belt when they fought. Here's a guy, Donald Cerrone, who's lost his last two. Not only has he lost his last two, he was finished in his last two. And those fights happen in the last 7 months. What's his confidence like? How's he feeling about himself? Where's he at mentally? So there's a lot at stake here. There's a lot at play, and I think that's what makes this fight so much fun. Let's go back to the phone lines. Great call, my man. Let's go to Jack in Harrisonburg. Jack, what's up?
Hey, Earl. Finally, I'm able to talk to you. That's awesome. Anyways, I just, you know, wanted to make a point. You know, I think, you know, with McGregor, his downfall really happened with the Mayweather fight. And I don't think after that he was the same. All the controversies, everything, you know, it got to his head. But I think he's finally back to where he's like, okay, I'm good. And I'm not going to talk trash anymore until I finally win again. And then finally, when he's going to do that, he's back.
Here's the thing. Yes, you can look at that Mayweather fight as a turning point. And I think there's something to be said for the fact that, look, you know, I reference this all the time, but it's a real thing. Marvin Hagler, the great boxer, once said, it's hard to wake up at 5 a.m. when you're waking up in silk pajamas. And all of a sudden he has silk pajamas. He's got a lot of them. And he's got silk sheets and all the possessions in the world and the nice house, cars, and all that stuff. And yeah, maybe he lost a little bit. He lost that drive. But here's the thing. He may have lost the drive, but then last year he almost lost it all. He almost went away. He almost screwed it all up. You know what I mean? And that's a scary thing for a young man who's 31 years old and has two children. And I think he saw the light, and I think he now realizes, I can't screw this up. Now, you know, remains to be seen. We've heard this from athletes before, but at least for right now, he's saying all the right things. Let's go to Derek in Chicago. Derek, what's up? Derek, are you there?
Yeah.
Derek, what's up?
Yeah, hi, how you doing?
You're on the air, my man. What's up?
Yeah, yeah. My question is, do you think this is a new Conor McGregor due to the loss to Khabib? And do you think his trash talk will ever be the same after what happened between him and Khabib and losing to him?
I think that it depends on the opponent. I think he has no animosity towards Donald Cerrone, so he doesn't have to trash talk him. I think that I see a lot of people saying Khabib humbled him. Listen to how he talks about the Khabib fight. He thinks he should have won that fight. He thinks he made mistakes, self-inflicted mistakes, right? The drinking, all that stuff. He thinks that he actually did better than people think he did in that fight. I don't think Khabib humbled him. I think what happened last year humbled him. I think 2019 humbled him. I think being in a jail cell in Miami humbled him. I think the allegations humbled him. I think him acting a fool humbled him. I don't think it was Khabib that humbled him. Like, to us, it could be that way, but I don't think internally he feels like Khabib humbled him, and he thinks that he could beat him 9 times out of 10. Let's go to Nate in Columbus. Nate, what's up?
What's going on, man? What's going on, man? How you doing?
I'm doing great.
Hey, so here's the thing. McGregor ain't humbled. Let's just get that out there, okay? He's still the same person he was even before the Mayweather fight. He's a hyped fighter. And here's the thing that a lot of people don't take into account for. A, I saw something today where online or on social media where he said, you know, he saw LeBron spends $150 million a year on taking care of his body. And McGregor realized that. So that's going to help prepare him to be a better fighter. But then also there are people in his camp that are really like substantially good fighters at his weak spots. So like Dylan Danis, being a world-class jiu-jitsu or Muay Thai fighter. I mean, that, like, working with Dylan Danis every day is going to prepare him to be a better ground fighter. So I give McGregor this fight because he's going to be a better ground fighter, and he's going to be a better striker like he always has been. He is a world-class striker, always has been, but now he's got his ground game on point, and it's going to be all McGregor. Just want to say thank you for giving me the time to talk on the air. Have a great night, and go Bucks, baby.
All right. Which Bucks are we talking about, by the way? Are we talking about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Pittsburgh Pirates? I don't know. Let's go to Joe in Chicago. Joe, what's up?
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me. So I got two things for you. I just wanted to share a theory about Conor versus Gaethje. Cowboy versus Gaethje. After that fight ended, DC put the mic in Gaethje's face, and he said, you know, is the Irishman next for you? And Gaethje said, no, he's retired. I want a real fighter. So I believe that's why Conor took Cowboy, and he's just sitting back laughing like, you know, Gaethje, you blew it. The reverse psychology didn't work.
Well, actually, I think it bothered him that Gaethje was so personal with his trash talk. I think that bothered him. I think he liked the fact that Cerrone was a lot more respectful. But, all right, it's a fair point, but I think it was more about the personal attacks. What was number two?
Okay, fair. So number two, I'm a big Derrick Rose fan. After his 50 points last year, the jump on Rachel Nichols, she kind of dove into his sexual assault allegations, and then, you know, today at the press conference there was a question regarding that. I just want to know, like, where is the line between, like, are we just going to judge them as, you know, entertainers, ball players, or, like, people, you know? Was that question, you think, fair for McGregor tonight after, you know, answering all the stuff on ESPN like Dana said and stuff like that? Obviously, it's a very valid question, but you think it was time was right for that or no?
I think it was fair, because a lot of other reporters haven't had a chance to ask. I didn't even know what the question was because he got cut off. I think the fans, and look, this is going to happen. You're doing a press conference in front of fans and they get rowdy and they have their own, you know, agenda as far as how they want the press conference to go. I don't think it was right for them to boo, but in particular, I think Dana White thought that he was helping Connor by saying he's not going to answer them. We've already addressed it. I think he actually did him a disservice. I think Connor was ready to talk about it. I think he was ready to answer whatever question was being thrown at him. Same way he was ready to answer them when I asked him about it. Didn't say anything beforehand or after. And I think Dana was trying to take a bullet for him, so to speak. And I think he actually did a disservice because now people are saying like, oh, he has something to hide. He shouldn't have done that, etc. Let the man answer it. It's his business. It's his story. And then move on. And at that point, you could say, look, I answered it today. I answered it with Ariel and ESPN. We're moving on. I'm an innocent man, and the truth will come out. Time, give me patience, all that stuff. But I think by just jumping in there without letting him speak actually did him a disservice. The fans should be ashamed of themselves. You should not be booing a reporter. You should know why you are there. That's for the media. It's a press conference. Press conference, press conference, press being the operative word. Let the man do his job, ask his question, be quiet, and then react afterwards and let Connor have his say. I think they should have just let him speak, move on, and everyone's happy. Unfortunately, that did not happen. All right, one more break. Much more of your calls, 246 talk, special guests, all that and more in the last break. For now, though, stand by. Helwani Show, ESPN Radio, UFC 246, right here on ESPN Radio, the app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. We're back after this.
There's a fight card coming up here in March. There's no main event yet. Things go okay on Saturday. Yes. Can you possibly come turn around quickly?
Yes. Yes. God willing, we come out here safe from this bout Saturday night. Most certainly, March would be well attainable.
And who would that be, you think?
Line them f***ing up. I do not give it. I couldn't care. Any weight, any division, any anything. I'm in prime condition and ready to go.
Welcome back to the Helwani Show right here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and SiriusXM Channel 80. That was from the UFC 246 press conference earlier today in Las Vegas. That was my colleague, Mark Raimondi, asking Conor McGregor just how quickly he can return to action if all goes well, if he walks away relatively unscathed on Saturday night against Donald Cerrone. And he has lofty goals for 2020. He says he wants to fight at least three times, maybe four. Told me on Friday that, hey, if all goes well, if this goes like I think it's going to go, why can't I fight next month? Now, it's not going to happen next month because there's a pay-per-view already booked in Houston, and it's all filled up. They're not going to put him on that card. But I threw out a very, what I thought was a very interesting theory on ESPN.com this morning. You can see the article. It's up there now. What if Conor McGregor defeats Donald Cerrone relatively quickly on Saturday night? What if he knocks him out in like 2 minutes? Could he possibly turn around and fight on March 7th here in Las Vegas? March 7th, there's a pay-per-view, T-Mobile Arena. There's a co-main event, Zhang Weili, Joanna Jacek, strawweight title, but there's no main event. They want Israel Adesanya to fight Yoel Romero. They're having issues with The Last Style Bender, contract issues. They can't agree on terms. Conor wins, slide him right in there. Masvidal's here. He's training. He's holding a press conference tomorrow. He wants that fight. Masvidal, Conor, Gaethje, Conor, Usman, Conor, anyone, Conor, Nate Diaz, Conor. Nate's not getting surgery. He's good. Can they turn it around? Can they come to terms with Conor? They need a main event. He says he wants to do it. So I thought that answer was very interesting. The question was interesting. Good on Mark for asking. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's say hello to Nina in Los Angeles. Nina, what's up? Nina, are you there? Nina going once. All right. Let's go to Tanner in Chicago. Tanner?
Ariel?
What's up?
Hey, Ariel. Hey, what's up? First of all, I just want to say, you know, thanks for taking the call. It's a pleasure to talk to you. I'm a student journalist myself, and you cover the most badass sport in the game. So thank you for taking the call.
Respect.
So my question for you is, if Conor were to, and certainly I don't hope that this happens, and I don't think that this happens, but if Conor were to lose to Cowboy, but he still wants to continue his fighting career, should he possibly consider moving to a different camp, especially after all the, you know, overanalyzation of the, you know, the whole John Kavanaugh comment about Conor running the camp? And I think Luke Thomas had like a really interesting quote about, he was talking about his camp talks about him as if he's like a dictator. So, you know, he's kind of surrounded by yes men. Should he consider moving to a camp where he is coached by people that won't just treat him as if he's a god?
Listen, Conor's been with the same guys since day one. In fact, he brought his early, you know, his first boxing coach ever, his first combat sports coach, Phil Sutcliffe, two-time Olympian from Kremlin Boxing Club. He brought him back. Say what you will about Conor McGregor, the person, the fighter, whatever you want, this man is incredibly loyal. He's not doing... I went back and listened to my very first interview with him in 2013. And the one thing he said in that interview that stands out till this day, he said, "I will never leave Ireland. I will never leave SBG. I will never turn my back on my team." And look at his corner. It's the same guys. Owen Roddy, John Kavanaugh, Sergey, the wrestling coach, Artem Lobov, same guys. What is this? What are you talking about? These are the same guys. Look at the success they had together for all those years. You think it was those guys that lost the Khabib fight for him? Or was it maybe the 4 days of partying in between, you know, training sessions? Maybe it was that. Or maybe it's just that Khabib is better. How about that? Maybe that's possible. And then prior to that was a Mayweather fight, which he was fighting a guy who was 49-0 against a guy who was 0-0 going into that boxing match in boxing, right? So, I mean, I think it's a little much. I think John's comments were twisted and maybe taken out of context. Who cares what they say to all of us? Really, who cares? Do you really think that a guy with this much at stake, with this much to lose, is just going to go out there and not surround himself with people who are going to make him better? Like, at the end of the day, superstars are superstars. They can do whatever they want. He's going to put himself in a position to be surrounded by people who make him comfortable, who he trusts, who have his own interests in mind, best interests. It's a ridiculous thing. He's not leaving these guys. I don't care what any of you say. Anyway, let's, we only got a couple minutes. I don't understand how they only gave us an hour here on ESPN. What could they possibly be talking about tonight other than UFC 246, the return of Conor McGregor? We've got like 2 minutes left, and I promise my guy Mark Raimondi, we're really late to get to Mark, and that's on me, but we had so many calls and everything. Mark, are you there?
2 minutes?
Yes, it's two minutes,
Ariel.
It's actually a minute and a half. It's Mark Raimondi of ESPN.com. He's the one that asked that question to Conor McGregor. And so let me ask you this. You asked him the question about the quick turnaround. Do you think if he wins in 2-3 minutes that he actually can turn around and fight on March 7th? And if so, who would you book him against?
It seems like that's something he's interested in doing. And if I'm the UFC, why wouldn't you want Conor McGregor back in, I mean, 6 weeks, not even 2 months? Who would I book him against? I mean, Justin Gaethje, he seems like he's available. Is Jorge Masvidal back from my, I know he had hand issues after the Nate Diaz fight. I mean, like Conor McGregor said at the press conference, line him up. I mean, there are a lot of possibilities for that potential fight if it's going to happen really in a relatively short amount of time.
Mark, this is your best appearance ever on any of my shows. Thank you very much for your contributions, but we are out of time, my man. I love you very much. This has been incredible. Thanks to everyone for tuning in. Thanks to everyone back in Bristol, TST & Co. It's been a great night here in Las Vegas. They only gave me an hour. Could you believe it? But we're back on Saturday for 3 hours, so we got a lot more to discuss. For now, we say goodnight. Helwani Show, ESPN Radio, the app, SiriusXM, Channel 80. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you so much for tuning in and calling. We love you all, and we'll talk to you on Saturday. Whoa. You didn't think that we would actually say goodbye on a Wednesday without our minimalist tip of the week, would you? I know we were on the radio. I know we're big time. I know we're in Las Vegas. We're getting set for 246, the return of McGregor, Cerrone, all that stuff and more. But tradition is tradition. We got to stick to the script. Each and every Wednesday, TST, Minimalist Tip of the Week. I need this. You need this. Troy, hit the music.
TST's Minimalist Tip of the Week.
Okay, Ariel. So I'm very excited to be heading back to Vegas for my first Conor McGregor fight. And I gotta say, I took a little inspiration away from your sit-down interview with Conor McGregor that aired. And I want to play this piece of sound, this little quote from Conor quick to set up this tip of the week.
For me, it's not about money, right? I'm in a position where it's forever money now. This is not for money for me, you know what I mean? So no amount of money will stop my hunger for this and my hunger to compete and entertain and live my life the way I want to live it and the way I enjoy to live it. And it's too much money, and without an awareness of it in the past can be dangerous. You know, there's no limits, there's no boundaries. You can do anything, you can go anywhere, but I know what I want to do and what I enjoy doing, and this is what I enjoy doing, so I'm going to keep doing it. And now I'm doing it full steam ahead, and I'm in the best shape of my life, mental and physical.
So, with this renewed sense of purpose that Conor McGregor has, he is adopting some minimalist principles, Ariel. He is realizing that even though he has all the money in the world, and obviously, you know, for me and you, we're scaling it down, and for your average person, we're scaling it down in terms of the amount of money we have, but he is realizing that things... You know, he can buy anything he wants, but that's not what makes you whole. That's not what makes you a better person. We have these voids in our lives. We feel less accomplished, or there's something that is missing there, and we try to fill it with stuff that doesn't, and maybe it fills, you know, a void in our life for a day, for a week, maybe a month, but then it goes away. That initial pang of joy that you feel goes away and it fades away. And Conor, what he is realizing is that things aren't important. It's the kind of person I am. That's what people will remember me by, and that's what I want to rub off on people, is who I am, not the things that I have.
Were you disappointed in that moment that my follow-up question to that statement wasn't, have you adopted the minimalist lifestyle? Have you been listening to TST? Did you feel like that was a missed opportunity on my part?
Yeah. I mean, honestly, I'm surprised you didn't throw it out there. Right, yeah. Right there on camera on Ariel Helwani's MMA show on Monday, that TST has been impacting him.
Yeah, I think you have. But you see, this is interesting because you're saying this and it all sounds good, but true or false, before we went on the air this evening, and what a show it was. So great to be on the radio. I love doing it. Thank you very much, by the way, to everyone at ESPN for giving us this opportunity. I know I kind of play up the whole, like, oh, I want more, but it's honestly an honor and a privilege to even get an hour if I'm being 100% honest. But true or false? You told me you're not buying this act, this changed act, the nice guy act. You're not buying it. So which is it? Is it the minimalist lifestyle that he's adopting, or is he just putting on an act?
So for my purposes, whether he means it or not, I wanted to take this opportunity to expound on it. However, I don't think this is genuine. I don't think this is genuine one bit.
Really?
Think of everything that happened with Conor McGregor in 2019. Incidents, arrests, like bad things happened. I'm all for second chances. But do people really change that quickly? I'm skeptical. I mean, this is a guy who fame has changed him. Money has changed him. And I know he just went on this little minimalist thing here, but I'm not necessarily sure if I buy it. I think he's trying to fool people. And I think, you know, he's on this little redemption tour right now, and he's just keeping it calm and, you know, using that conspiracy theory that you were alluding to earlier to try to trick people. I think he's tricking us.
Wow. This is fascinating because it feels like, correct me if I'm wrong, it feels like the public is buying it, right?
Yeah, for sure. People think he's changed.
When I spoke to him in August, that interview, right, after the footage was released of him punching the man in the bar, I think most people weren't buying it. They felt he was not being sincere. They felt it was just, you know, some sort of script that he was reading from his PR team. But I felt this time around, not just in my interview, but everything that he has said and done over the past 5 or so days since the buildup for this fight really ramped up, I feel like people are buying it, at least for now. And like I said on the air, it might change. He gets booked against Nate. He gets booked against Khabib. He gets booked against Tony Ferguson, Gaethje, who's made it very personal. I feel like maybe the old guy could come out. I mean, this is a man, Conor, I've asked him before, you know, has a bit of an anger problem. He sometimes can't control it, and I get that. But right now, it seems like he's in a good place. He seems happy. To me, he seems very genuine. You look at him on that stage, he's happy to be there. He's authentic. He's appreciative. He's respectful. Why can't we just take that for what it is? Why do we have to say that it's disingenuous or it's not real? It's inauthentic. It's fake. Why can't you just trust that the man's in a good place? He's happy. He doesn't want any problems. He doesn't want any drama. He just wants to fight.
I don't buy it.
Okay. Well, we shall see. We shall see Saturday night. UFC 246, the return of Conor McGregor. And like I said, over the past year, Conor McGregor versus a broomstick is a big deal. Like, him fighting is the story here. Now, Cerrone's a good part of the story, and the fact that he's getting this big fight and the big payday, that's all well and good. But the story on Saturday night that we want to see how it plays out is whether or not he wins, whether or not he wins impressively, and if he loses, where does he go from here? Because there's a real story to be told. If he loses, does he come back? Does he want to keep going? At that point, does he say, I don't have it anymore. I don't feel like doing this. There's so many questions that are going to be answered. Not just for Conor. For the future of the 170-pound division, for Jorge Masvidal, for Kamaru Usman, for the 155-pound division. He controls so much. He's the only guy that controls everything from 155 to 170. Maybe even a little 145 too. Why the hell not? That's why it's so fun when he's around, when he's back, when he's thriving. It's just a different kind of fight week. And we're in the midst of it. And we're having it a blast. Thursday, we're going to have Masvidal talking to the press, Usman talking to the press, Conor and Cerrone, and the rest of the 246 card. Friday, weigh-ins, so much more coverage coming your way. And once again, Saturday from 4 to 7 Eastern, live on ESPN Radio, myself, TSD, the rest of the crew. We're going to be taking your calls. We're going to be talking to special guests, getting you set on fight day. Flash fight night for the big return of Conor McGregor, UFC 246. For now, though, we're out of time. Thank you very much for listening, downloading, subscribing. It is so great to be covering this card for ESPN. It is an honor. It is a privilege. It is a blast. I'm having so much fun. I'll talk to you next time.